Well, folks, let me say one more time, good morning. And it's good to see each and every one of you. And as we turn to the word that the Lord has given to us, please keep me in prayer so that I don't go astray in any way. You know, my words don't mean anything. But it's God's word that we've come to hear. So again, I ask that you pray that the Lord will use me to convey the message that at least just one person in this congregation needs to hear. Now, let me just say, last week at Zoom, we had our Zoom meeting last Sunday. I don't know how that came across, but I appreciated everybody that participated. Today, we're going to move on from Noah. But I hope the time that we focused on Noah, that you can grasp and glean what a wonderful example of faith that Noah was, and what an example he is to us. And I do want to take a few little lingering aspects from the story of Noah and pull it into our message today. But folks, I want you to also recognize that our opening scripture reading this morning is important. You know, one of those, what I call a marker verse in your Bible or memory verse that you should carry around with you. God has promised us certain things. We know that all things work together for good, that those who love God, and that those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You know, that word conformed is important because that means that there's a forming process throughout our lives. But we will be conformed. And why are we conformed? Because God loves us. And He wants us to be conformed and transfigured, if you can use that term, into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way that we are made acceptable. It's through our faith that we have that God has planted in us. And that faith is tested and exercised throughout time. We are conformed. And we are justified by faith through the grace that God has given it to us through Jesus Christ. And we can't forget that. You know, Noah was called righteous because he had faith. So again, as we leave the story of Noah, I just want to read a couple of verses and then we'll move on. So if you'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 8, verses 21 through 22. We're going to read some things here. And while you're turning, I know it should be on the PowerPoint slide, but I want you to remember in that story, after the flood, God commanded for Noah to leave the ark. You see, that had been a sanctuary all through the storm. That was his comfort zone. But now things were changing. And he was commanded to go out of the ark and all the animals with him. And folks, that happens to us sometimes too. We have to move out of our comfort zones. God told him to leave the ark. And then reading chapter 8, verses 21 through 22. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. And if we stop right there, folks, that one phrase from the Lord himself should be heavy on your heart and help us to recognize how much we need Jesus Christ. Because we have all gone astray. And we need our Savior. And God loves us so much that he gave us our Savior. And here we see God pouring out his love for creation. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Now if you flip over to chapter 9, I want to read verses 12 through 13. Because there were promises contained in what we just read. I don't know if you picked them up. We'll go over them in just a second. Chapter 9, 12 through 13. And God said, this is my sign. Or this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Three promises the Lord just gave us here, folks. And these promises ought to be reminders to us as we go through life. What did he promise? He promised he would never curse the ground again. Never. He promised that through all perpetual generations, and if you think of that term perpetual, that means from then to the end of time, all the generations to come, There will be seasons. Seasons in our life. Every time we change a season, it ought to turn our thoughts to God, because He's promised this. And then, because of the way the world changed after the flood, you know, it had never rained before the flood, but now it was different. It had rained. And He said His rainbow in the sky is a promise that never again would he kill all creatures by flooding the earth. There's just three promises right there. There's more if we dug into it further. But folks, these promises, these reminders, ought to tell us and turn our thoughts towards God and remember them as we go through the seasons in our life. See, Noah had a big change. He had to come out of the ark. We have seasonal changes in our lives. We go from one chapter or one season to another. Little Reese and Eli, how much bigger are they now? They're not the same as they were 2 years ago. They're continuing to develop. Same is true for us. Hopefully, we're growing in strength in our spirits inside. We're constantly changing. But seasonal changes come to us, folks. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. So now here comes your favorite part of my messages. I get to ask you questions. And if you know what, if you ever want to answer them out loud, go right ahead, though I don't expect you to. If you look back at your life and you think about the seasons that you've been through, can't you remember them? There's quite a few seasons. So in the first one, let me ask you, in a season of when things were plentiful, a season of plenty and happiness, did you still ask God to direct your paths, to lead you? And did you praise Him for those good times? Too often we enjoy these good times, but we don't really pour our heart with gratitude the way we should. But it is God who gave them to us. And you know, folks, I'm going to tell you, it's easier to go astray when things are going good than when they're going bad. When things are going good, we need to pray that the Lord will direct our paths. I don't know. You have to answer if you did that. If you didn't, I suggest that in the future that you do. What about when you went through a season that you wished you had not had to go through? As you look back, do you realize that you learned a lot of things that you would not have learned had you not gone through that difficult season? Folks, that's the way life is. We did. During that time, did you learn to trust the Lord in a season of trouble? And did you thank Him for that hard time? What did we read earlier? All things work for good to those that love the Lord. We go through hard times in our life. We go through good times in our life. Regardless of what we're going through, the Bible gives us instructions. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And folks, that's in everything, good times and bad. We're supposed to be giving thanks to God, no matter what season we are in our life. So let me ask you, where are you now? Where are you on this February 2024? Spring's right around the corner. I've been seeing robins in our yard. That's usually a harbinger and a sign that spring's close by. We're all about to enter into a new season. Are you entering any type of a new season in your life? You know, when seasons change, everything changes. What will this new season that you're about to enter, what changes will come with it? Whatever they are, folks, I pray that you will take an example that we saw in Noah. Noah had to step out of that ark in faith. Whatever seasons that we're facing, I pray that you will step forward in faith, believing and trusting in God that He will help you through them. If you look back at the seasons in life that I just described, God was with you. Why would you think that He would not be with you when you're facing something new? We can't live in a little microcosm, a little comfort zone all our lives. We have to step out in faith. That's what faith is. Trusting God. And we need to be praying that God will lead us. You know, folks, we can look inward and begin to question things and say, well, what if? What if this? What if that? We can what if things to death. We need to trust God. That's what faith is. So whatever changes may be in front of us, we need to have that faith and that confidence that God is going to help us. We need to pray for Him. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to trust in Him. Now, folks, now we're leaving the story of Noah, and we're going to go to the New Testament. Turn with me, please, to the book of James, chapter 1. And I want you to think about your seasonal changes that you've had in your life. And I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm not going to have 20 different scriptures to turn to. We're going to stay right here in the opening part of James the rest of the morning. So please pray for me. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now we're going to read, and then we're going to back up, and we're going to kind of break this down a little bit and try to apply it to us. Chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I want to stop right there. And I want you to really start thinking about what's in this letter, of what's happening. In the very first verse, James, a bondservant of God, he's writing this letter to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Folks, they were scattered. Now, scattered means that they are not living in Israel proper anymore. The Greek word for scattered is diaspora, which means living outside of Israel proper. But the big thing is, they were scattered because of persecution. So already, James is writing this letter to people who had gone through a season of hardship. They had gone through very hard things. You know, we all go through difficult times. And you can read right now, if you go to the right web pages and sources, of how people are persecuted in other parts of the world for their Christian belief. Well, the early apostles, the early converts from Judaism to Christianity, they were persecuted too. All you have to do is think about Stephen. Think about the apostles and the things that they suffered. He's writing to people who had been through physical persecution. And then he tells us, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, folks, here James is giving advice and directives, not only to the people that he's writing to, but it applies to us as well. God's word is edifying for all generations, and it's instructive and authoritative. And we need to learn what James is telling us here. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You see, folks, the way we look at things, our perspective, is very important. It's very important how you're going to deal with different seasons in your life. You see, the first thing I want you to recognize is what James just said. When trials come. He didn't say if. He said when trials come. Trials are part of every believer's life. They're inevitable. They're unavoidable. Trials will come. Now, you can have some good trials, but they're still trying of your faithfulness, maybe. You can have some very difficult trials like these people were. But we all have our trials. Now, I've been using the term seasons. You may have some trials right ahead of you because you're going into a new season in your life. I don't know. But at some point, you will have trials in your life. Seasons will change. You're going to enter into some new chapter in your life. It will be easier if you have faith in God. It might be an easy trial. It might be a difficult trial. I don't know. But thinking back about Noah, what do you think went through Noah's mind when he stepped out of that ark? I don't know. Everything had changed. The whole world was different, folks. A brand new world. You can picture some science fiction movie if you want to. It was a brand new world for Noah. He had been safe in that ark. Now he had to go out. Was Noah excited? Was he apprehensive? Was he afraid of the unknown? Was he joyful? It's an uncharted, unknown chapter. For him, it was truly a new season in his life. But folks, it's important to realize that up to that point in his life, 100 years prior, Noah was a man of faith. And God had spoken to Noah. He gave Noah instructions. He protected him through the flood. God was his safe harbor. Noah had faith. That's why he was called a man of righteousness. So when he told him to come out of the ark, he was speaking to him again. He had to, just like he told Abraham, leave your country. He told Noah to go out of that ark. Folks, I can't tell you where God may direct you in your life. But if we are a praying people and our faith is strong, he will speak to us. Did Noah remember God's faithfulness towards him? Well, I think he did. Because what did Noah do when he came out of the ark? Chapter 8, verse 20 tells us, Noah built an altar to the Lord. He built an offer, and he made a sacrifice. And it says the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And then those promises came that we already read. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. God made a promise. He was talking to Noah. Folks, God's word never changes. We have his promises that we can hold on to. If it's as simple as the changing of the seasons or the rainbow, the evidence of God's goodness is all around us. We see it in creation. We see it in the faith of the people sitting beside you here on the pew today. God is with us. He's made that promise. So we should have the courage to step out into new seasons that come in our life. Because, folks, God, as God spoke to Noah, God talks to us today, too. He speaks to us through his word and through prayer. We have his written word. We have the privilege of prayer. We have the blessing of hearing other people pray in our church and online. We have all the edification we need to trust God. And we can always, of course, look to the words of Jesus. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said the following, and we're talking about the seasons in our life. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, James said, when trials come. Jesus is saying right here, we will have tribulation in this world. But folks, where's your faith and your trust? Jesus tells us to be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. When trials come, Jesus also told us to remember, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. So folks, if we're reading God's word and that's how he speaks to us, if we are a praying people, we should be hearing God's word and instructions. And we should not be unprepared and caught off guard when we face a new season in our life, and if there's difficult trials in that new season. We should be thoroughly equipped with the knowledge that comes in God's word. Like Noah, we can learn from Noah and his faith. Trust God and remember his faithfulness. I asked earlier, what storms had you been through in your life? What tough seasons? Well, God saw you through them. You're here today. Trust the Lord with all your heart and your soul. But folks, I can't stress enough, especially in those good times, pray for God's leadership to direct your path so that you remain faithful. But in the hard times especially, once you're finally through them, have you stopped and thanked God with all your heart and soul? Prayer changes everything, folks. When we are, just say thank you, our perspective changes. Have a heart filled with gratitude. Say thank you. Thank you to God. James said, count it all joy when trials come. They will come. It's a matter of when, not if. And that brings us to the second part that I want us to focus on this morning. I told you this was going to be very condensed. The second part is count. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, folks, the word count has a lot of synonyms. We've got two teachers, and others, I think, that have been teachers in the past that are with us today. What can you substitute? What synonym do you like to substitute for count? Have you ever thought about it? Count's a financial or accounting term if you're counting coins or counting money. But he says count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Think about some of the synonyms. To number, to regard, to look upon, consider, evaluate, assess. So if you substitute count for those words, consider it all joy. Regard it as joy. Look upon it as joy when you fall into various trials. But folks, all of these words have something in common. You have to think about it, don't you? It's just not rolling off you. It's just not automatic. You have to put some thought into it. You have to evaluate it. Evaluate the trial that you're in. Evaluate the new season that you might be entering into. Think about it. And he says to count it all joy. But see, folks, when we look at trials differently, we begin to think about them for just a moment. Where did the trial come from? What does this mean? That can change our perspective. If we start relying on our faith regardless of whatever the trial is, we should remember that God has promised He is always with us and that everything works for good for those that love the Lord. Do you remember those things? Do you revert back to them? God is always with us. That one thought, the way we look at a trial, changes our perspective. A grateful heart changes your perspective. A heart of faith changes your perspective. What we're told in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It changes your perspective. So how do you face trial? How will you evaluate a new season that you might be entering? I don't know what it may be. It might be a change of financial change in your life, for good or for worse. Brother Mark's not here today, but he's looking at retiring. What a wonderful blessing that is for him. But it's a change that's coming. Some of you might be finishing school. You got new adventures in front of you, new opportunities. Some of you might be thinking about moving to another state. I don't know. But we all have seasons of change that come upon us. Does it make you apprehensive? If it does, then folks, I think you need to be praying a little bit more and stop and relax and remember, God is in control. And that through Jesus Christ, you can do all things. Sometimes, you know, there's a word called exercise or faith. It takes effort. Sometimes these struggles come to us to build and increase our faith. Usually, folks, there are three possibilities that come when we have trials in our life or where the trials come from. Normal events in this life, that mistakes we've made or mistakes that other people have made. We all make mistakes. And folks, usually our mistakes have some consequences. Sometimes we are just the recipient of a bad mistake that somebody else made. It's just bad timing. You know, what if you loan somebody some money and you think the world of this person and they're in a really bad hardship case, but they didn't tell you all the truth? And you never have a chance of getting that money back, even though they promised they would pay it back. Well, we get over those things. You did something with very good intentions. Yes, you suffered a little bit from it. That's a monetary loss. But the person that misled you, we need to pray for them. But nevertheless, that's just a very small example of mistakes that happen in life. Things just occur. But how do you handle them? How do you face them? And so that leads me to the next one. Whatever trial or season that you're about to enter into, is it coming from God? Well, ultimately, we can say that God allows all things, but is God testing you? The Word tells us explicitly that, yes, God will test you. And it says He also chastens those that He loves. So God does put trials in our life, but you need to recognize that it may not just be for you. Sometimes it might be for the benefit of another person. The things you go through, you are example. You are a child of God. Is your light shining for others to see? Or does your faith go out the window as soon as something bad happens? There's an old expression called sunshine patriots. A soldier can be very patriotic until the bullets start flying and then they run away. What type of a soldier of the cross are we? How strong is our faith? God will test our faith. It's called exercising our faith. It's to make us grow. It's to make us stronger, folks. And you know, if you grow stronger in your faith, if you're sharing your faith, you're going to be an uplifting, vibrant, buoyant force for those around you. That's what the word edify means, to build up those around us. We should be edifying factors right here in this church for each and every one of us. But it can't stay inside this church. We need to take it outside these walls. Now, folks, the other way trial may come is from Satan. You ever thought about that? I mean, we know the story of Job. God allowed Satan to afflict Job in horrible ways. And I can say that some of us have been through some hard times in our lives. But nobody's been through anything like Job. We can look at God's Word, folks, and see where everything I just said here is very true. Are you in the middle of a trial right now? I don't know. But rest assured, seasons change, and with seasonal changes, life changes. And at some point, some trial will come into your life. James said, when? And when they do, you need to count them and evaluate, where are they coming from? What is the cause? And folks, Satan is a cause. But the two things that will happen when you begin to evaluate your trial, look upon it, either you will turn to the Lord and pray in faith and strengthen your faith and have the confidence to endure the trial, or you're going to become bitter. Maybe you can think of people that fall into both camps. Now, being saying to say that, well, they became bitter is not complimentary in any way. When we turn to the Lord in prayer, notice what you do. You're stepping out in faith. But we ask, what now, Lord? What now? Who are you asking the question from? You're asking it from God, from our Creator. What now? And then you ask, how do I handle this trial? You thought about that? You're looking for instructions. Folks, through these types of trials, our faith will grow. When you trust in God, and it's going to benefit everybody around you, you, your family, your friends, your co-workers, fellow believers in church. I believe you've been through some of these trials in your lives already. We need to share our faith more openly, in my opinion. If they're not stories that apply to us, we need to be sharing those that we've heard to encourage one another. Folks, we can never forget that God is always with us. When a trial comes, we need to turn to God. That's what Noah did. He stepped out of the ark in faith. He trusted God. He turned to God first when he built that altar. A trial comes our way, a new season that might be difficult for us. And you know, a season isn't just one day, is it? It lasts a while. We need the strength to make it through the season. It could be a great season. It could be a season of wonderful prosperity, but you know, if we don't handle it right, we could blow it all away, miss opportunities, or turn our attention and love away from God, like so many people do. They worship the What is given more than the one that gives it? What is sin? We need to be praying for the different seasons in our life. God doesn't always tell us why we have a difficult season or a trial, as James says, when trials come. He doesn't always say why, folks, but he does say that they will come. He said when. And what should we do? We need to trust the Lord like Noah did. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do you believe it? This is God's word taken from Proverbs. This is memorized by so many people. Deep down, do you believe it in your heart? If you're going through a hard time, do you trust the Lord? Do you believe that he will guide your paths? You know, when we can't see, it's difficult. That's what faith is, folks. It's trusting in what we don't see. It's trusting God to lead us. Folks, when we don't turn to God in our trials, we're not praying as we should. And we become weaker because we're not looking to God as our source of strength. And then this really bad result comes. We begin to feel alone. And we look inside only. And folks, when we think we're all alone, it's so easy to become bitter. It happens to us. That's what our faith needs to keep us from succumbing to. And I believe that when we allow this to happen, in some way we chose it. We allowed it to happen. That is a choice, because the way you approach a trial has an importance. And folks, whether you recognize it or not, when you start thinking this way, that is Satan who is tempting you and deceiving you and twisting the events in your mind to make you think, oh, pitiful me. Think how weak I am, how I can't do this, how everybody's abandoned me. Nobody loves me. And that's a lie. God loves his children. And he provides for his children. And folks, we need to step out in faith and believe that. We need to trust God. You know, there's an old saying. Some of us are old enough, you should remember this. When the devil ignores you, you know you're living exactly the way he wants you to. And that's far away from God. You ever thought about that? A trial that's coming in your life? If Satan's bringing it, why? If God's allowing it? If there are no trials, you need to start wondering, folks. Maybe you're not living right. Maybe you're not sharing your faith enough. These folks in the other parts of the world that are being persecuted, it's because, I'll give you an example right now, in India, in the northern part of India, the Hindus are very mad because 3% of the population has become Christian. And they're going around and they're burning the churches and they're persecuting people because the word is getting out. Maybe we're not getting the word out enough here. What about in America? There's some churches that have been burnt, that have been persecuted, that have been vandalized, but not very many. Maybe we've become too quiet. We don't have enough trials. Maybe we're living exactly the way Satan wants us to. Nice and quiet, hiding our faith. That's not what God tells us to do. You need to think about your life. Maybe you're living the same exact way that Satan wants you to live. We need to think about it. And then we need to recognize when the devil's at the door, maybe you're living and doing something right. Because Satan wouldn't be bothering you. Just like in the story of Job. Job said, God said, have you considered my servant Job a perfect and upright man? Satan went to tear him down. Sometimes the trials we might be facing is because you're living just perfectly right in the sight of God, like Noah did, a faithful person. Folks, we will have trials. It's a matter of when. Seasons come and seasons go. Springtime's right around the corner for us. Seasonally in 2024. What season are you at in your life? What changes may be coming? My point is this, as James told us, when trials come, whatever come what may, We need to remember that God is with us and that through Christ we can do all things. Noah stepped out of that ark in faith, facing a brand new world, a brand new chapter, a whole new season of his life. And as James said, count it all joy. Look at it. Look on it with joy. Look on it knowing that God is with you. And folks, that should give us joy because it should help us to know that no matter what we're facing, if we are praying for God to direct our paths, we're going to make it through to the glory of God. Will your faith be an example for other people? Your perspective changes everything. Noah stepped out and he built an altar. He praised God. He praised God for and thanked him for seeing him through the storm in the ark. And he praised God for the new opportunities, the new world that was before him. Folks, our ark of salvation is Jesus Christ. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. All things are possible for those that love God. Folks, we need to be a positive, uplifting factor and force in this world because of what God has done for us. He has saved us. At the very beginning, I said that word conforming. You think about these trials. Sometimes these trials are to form you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know, that's something we should be thankful about. We should count it as joy. Now, folks, next week we're going to look at the rest of these verses found in James 1, 1 through 4. I told you this would be condensed, so I don't know if you like that change or not. But pray for me as we continue on in this message because there's a lot more to be gleaned from this. But folks, as we close, I want you to remember, God expects us to have faith and to trust Him. And you need to recognize that the way you handle trial in your life is going to have a large impact, not only on yourself, but on those around you. I pray that you will step out in faith as Noah did. May the Lord add His blessings to these words is my prayer.